for it. 1, 2, 3 strikes, you're out at the old ball game.
Welcome back to Short Hops and Tall Tales, a pitcherless podcast titling the weird, funny, and bizarre elements of baseball that make America's pastime special. I'm thrilled to reintroduce my co-host, Brandon Riddle, to the show. Weird. That was a pregnant pause. Brandon, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay right now. I feel like you could have thrown an insult right there, it feels like, but I'm good with that.
I wouldn't insult you. I mean,
never, no.
Yeah. I don't know. Anyway, Brandon, what are we talking about today?
All right, today we're talking about Milt Mason. Ever heard of him?
Who?
Milt Mason. It's a fun one.
I've never heard of this man before in my life.
Well, after Milt, we talk about the pickle jar, and then a segment we're calling Dr. Frankenpitch. And yes, it's very important to remember that Dr. Frankenpitch was not the monster, but in fact, the doctor like you have.
Yes, yes. I'm glad we got that joke out of the way.
It was going to happen sooner or later.
It was going to happen. All right. Sounds good to me.
So before we jump into Milt, we got some pickup trivia.
Before we jump into Milt.
It sounds like...
This episode's already gotten chaotic. What's the trivia question?
All right. What slugger has the most career home runs among players born in Mexico?
Wow, you just love to make me look really stupid at the beginning of every episode.
That is my job.
Oh, man. Okay, Mexican baseball players. I hate that the only player coming to mind right now is Adrian Gonzalez, because there's so many.
That's true.
Why is that the only player?
I'm looking through some
Fernando
names.
Fernando is not going to be the leader for career home runs.
Kareem Garcia, Rubio Durazo, Luis Aea, Oliver Perez. Of course, that wouldn't work.
I don't know. I'm striking out here big time. Because most of the it's just I don't know why, but for whatever reason I know a lot more pitchers from Mexico than I do.
No, it's
hitters.
True. I'm looking through the list and all these pitchers are just jumping out at me.
All right, what's the answer here?
The answer with 320 home runs is Vinny Castilla. Remember?
Really?
Him? Yeah.
Yeah, that's really interesting.
Yeah, I thought that was kind of fun.
I actually got his card in MLB The Show the other day, I'm pretty sure.
I started that with him, actually. I think that's where this came from.
that's funny. All right, Vinny Castilla. Cool. I would not have guessed that, but now, hey, that's some good bar trivia.
Yeah, and I guess speaking of things you wouldn't guess, Milt Mason.
Milt Mason, I'll get ahead of this. Great baseball name. He definitely sounds like a farmer of grain. He sounds like a grain farmer. I don't know. I'm getting that from Mill.
I will say, great baseball name. Never played baseball.
What?
On a baseball podcast? Yes, ladies and gentlemen.
That's not what we do.
We're going into the weeds here.
Apparently.
All right. So here we go with Milt Mason. So let's go back to 1970 Milwaukee Brewers. This is the first year that in Milwaukee, and they had a bit of an identity crisis. So remember the year before, the brand new franchise were known as the Seattle Pilots. And so the Pilots, they were supposed to begin playing 1971 so they can get the stadium ready and get players and uniforms ready. But they had to begin play in 1969 in order for the Kansas City Royals to come into the league at the same time. So they already came to the season into existence underprepared. So they had immediate issues.
It's a great start.
Yeah, like the identity crisis right away. They only won 5 games in the first month of the season, the Seattle Pirates.
Wow, yes. They do have identity issues.
And they only had 19,000 seats available by opening day.
In the park?
In the entire park. The stadium was not ready for baseball yet. They could only put in 19,000 seats. And a lot of them were just put up in a week prior, just bleachers to try to get people in.
Some lawn chairs, yeah.
Yeah. And so the Pilots obviously did not have a great year and ended up losing money in that season. Which, when you're a baseball team and you lose money, you're in trouble.
So you have to kind of try to lose money as a baseball team today.
Can you lose
difficult.
Money as a baseball
very,
team?
Very, very
difficult. I don't
difficult
know if you can. We'll find out. So anyway, that is when a car salesman stepped in to save the day. Remember this guy, Bud Selig?
How could I forget?
Of course. So Bud Selig, he had the wonderful idea of moving the Pilots to Milwaukee after Milwaukee recently lost the Braves. But Seattle, they didn't want to lose their team because it's just 1 year of baseball. You don't want to let that go. So they kept trying to keep the team through a variety of prospective buyers, but issues with bank loans and the league voting no on a nonprofit taking over ultimately caused the team to go bankrupt.
Well, at least that's the last time Seattle had to lose a professional sports team, right?
Yeah, that was it. Sorry, guys. So the team did go bankrupt prior to the 1970 season. Just how prior? 6 days prior to opening day.
Oh, no.
So 7 days before opening day, they were still the Seattle Pilots. 6 days before opening day, they became the Milwaukee Brewers.
What? They changed their name 6 days before opening
day. And moved cities 6 days before.
What? This is a dumpster fire. They haven't even played a game.
And of course, you can get players and coaches, things like that, Milwaukee with planes, no problem. But their equipment was stuck in Provo, Utah, which is not a place you particularly want to be stuck in. Sorry, Provo. And had to be shipped to Wisconsin. So when they finally do get it, they had such short time between being the Seattle Pilots and Milwaukee Brewers that they couldn't really change the colors. They were stuck with the blue and gold. You can still see some of the faded Pilots emblems on their uniforms. The colors originally came from Seattle because they didn't have enough time. And so the Brewers just a pretty chill team and said, we're going to keep it.
That is a really cool... That's a really cool origin story for that piece of history.
Originally, Bud Selig, of course, wanted the colors to be modeled after his Little League team, which is like red and yellow or something like that. Obviously, that didn't happen. And so they just stuck with the Pilots colors. Sure. So here we go. 6 days in, they got a new team and then opening day starts. And they got a crowd for their first game out. 36,000 fans strong showed up for a team they didn't even know would exist a week prior.
Wait, don't they have 19,000 seats? Or was that in Seattle?
That was in Seattle.
That was in Seattle. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Seattle was doomed to fail.
Out there in Milwaukee. Yes.
Okay.
Unfortunately, that first game, it didn't go well for this new team. And they lost 12-0 to the Angels.
Probably still had jet lag.
Do you get jet lag from traveling from one time zone? Oh, yeah, probably.
You are the person to ask.
The answer is yes. So again, 36,000 people show up at the first game. Opening day bodes well. The second game, 7,000 people.
Whoa!
Yeah, it didn't go too well from then on out. So I guess you had the good feelings of the first game. But yeah, 7,000 game two. 7,000 for game three. And they ended up averaging just over 11,000 fans per game.
Wow, that is abysmal.
Mm-hmm. Now, granted, it was far from the worst in the league. The White Sox that year averaged under 6,000 fans a game.
How do you do worse than 7,500 people a game? Well,
there are like four different teams that average less than that. Less than 11,000. But yeah, it was a rough year for the lower half in baseball attendance, but especially for this basically brand new franchise in the new city. You would think it wouldn't have been the case. So midway through the season, when they're really struggling in the standings and struggling in attendance, the general manager, Marvin Milks, had a thought. Yes, Marvin Milks.
Now, I'm sorry.
Go ahead, get it out. Marvin Milks.
I love milk, but that's funny. Sorry, Marvin. Sorry. I'll keep it professional.
So Marvin here, he had that professional idea. And in retrospect, it was a good idea, but it was a weird idea.
What does Marvin milk?
What does Marvin milk? he makes baseball teams.
Milks a baseball team. Good answer.
You know what? In retrospect, weird thing to say as well.
it's been weird for a while now, Brandon.
I know. So speaking of weird things, Marvin goes up to his friends, a former aviation engineer named Milt Mason, and said, hey, Milt, would you do me a favor? And Milt said, anything. And Marvin, Milt's good friend, asked Milt to live in a trailer on top of the 80-foot-high scoreboard in center field until 40,000 fans show up to a ballgame.
I'm sorry, what?
So once again, Marvin.
This is ridiculous. A ridiculous conversation.
Is milking a friendship and says, hey, Milt, would you live in a trailer on top of an 80-foot high scoreboard in center field until 40,000 fans show up to a game?
Next question. How old is old Milt?
69 years old.
What?
He is a 69-year-old man being asked to live in a trailer 80 feet up in the sky.
Marvin, you are a bad friend because no good friend asks his 69-year-old buddy to live how high, 80 feet in the air on top of a scoreboard? I'd do it. It sounds fun, but my goodness.
And Milt did it.
Okay.
And keep in mind, he's not just up there during games. He's not up there during – he's up there 24/7 until 40,000 fans show up to this game. And this trailer
– and he's still up there today.
It is very – well, we'll get there. So this trailer wasn't terrible. It was 8 feet by 20 feet with, quote, the latest in electrical conveniences, even with air conditioning.
They better hook him up if he's gonna do this stunt. They gotta set him up.
So he was up there with the latest in electrical conveniences, and he refused to actually come down because he was. Keep in mind, he was craned up there. They took a crane with him in a trailer and craned him up to this location and then fastened it down.
He was really immobilized up there. He really couldn't go out. Yeah. It's not like he had like an elevator or stairs.
He couldn't be mobile. He was up.
Wow, I would lose my mind.
The ways to get down was through an elaborate set of ladders, and he was 69, so he was agile, but he was 69, so he didn't do it.
Can't blame him for that. My question is, like, I just feel like this is one of those things that, like, it sounds fun in theory if you're, like, our age.
Yeah, sure.
But I also could see, like, imagine it's, like, an extra innings game, and this poor guy just wants to go to sleep. Like... there's nobody in the park. Never mind.
Say, luckily, there's 4,000 people, so it's not a big deal.
Oh, perfect.
And he refused to come down again. And there was a point where he came down ill and people worried about him. And so instead of him going down to go to the emergency room or seeing a doctor, they sent a doctor up to him because he refused to go down.
That's funny.
And the doctor charged the club with $1,000 for the visit.
That's a fun day at work, though.
Yeah. And so he said when he first got it going, I figured I might be up here for a month and a half, but I'm prepared to stay up the whole season if I have to. Because he got up there July 6th is when he started this quest.
Okay, cool.
And he thought maybe a month, but then he was ready to go the whole season. And he spent his younger years walking on airplane wings and riding motorcycles, so the wind 80 feet up didn't really bother him. And plus, he said, it would probably take a good 60-mile-per-hour gust to really unhinge a trailer, and he was comfortable with that.
Okay, that's terrifying. I'm thinking that Milt, though, I'm thinking that just the vibe I'm getting from him is that he really didn't want to come down, period. I feel like he's kind of like, oh, I get my little palace in the sky, and I don't have to talk. Like, this is like the dream if you're, like, not somebody who loves social situations, right?
Oh, yeah. But he did... You know, he was social with the fans. He had a microphone to talk to the fans before and after games and between doubleheaders. So he was up there with a microphone, just like yelling at the fans.
Please, please come to the game. They won't let me go home. Oh.
He also had two phones in his trailer, one for personal use and one for PR and press.
Oh, cool.
He had a small library as well. Yeah. And keep in mind that he was up there during, away games, too. So he brought up a small grill and baked pies in his electric stove.
Oh, that's such a vibe. Like baking pies, grilling up burgers. Okay.
In a trailer by yourself.
So I assume he had a radio or something, right? Because there's no way they're delivering newspapers to this guy. Like, how does he keep up with current events?
I would assume he has a radio. Yeah.
Okay.
Or maybe the fans just yell at him. So he did a couple things. He was eating a lot, so he asked for exercise equipment. So the team craned up an exercise bike for him, where he did 3 miles every morning on it. He also, because he was an aviation engineer, spent time making paper airplanes and throwing them off and seeing how far he can get.
Oh my gosh, that's
he
my
said
dream.
If the wind is right, he can get it 385 feet.
That is my dream. Like, I would that's I love those videos of people. Just awesome.
80 feet up in the stadium. And so he's 69, living up there, talking to fans once in a while. So you got to kind of question, how's he doing? And so he said this quote, and there's a key phrase in here. Sometimes I forget my own name. They call me by my right name. I wonder who they're calling. They don't even know I'm Bernie Brewer.
Wait, say that again?
So, full quote. Sometimes I forget my own name. They call me by my right name, and I wonder who they're calling. They don't even know I am Bernie Brewer.
Is this a Bernie Brewer origin
this
story?
This is an origin story.
Are
of
you
the
serious?
Max. Yes,
oh, this,
it absolutely
this should be
is.
A movie. That what? I didn't know this was the turn we were taking. Oh, that's
yes.
So cool.
So
wait. Sorry. Where did he get that name? Why did people call him Bernie? Though?
Well, he would just go by Bernie. So Milt was his first name, but he would okay. just answer to Bernie. And sure. they eventually just called him Bernie
wow.
Brewer. Yes.
So just real quick, for those of you who aren't as familiar with Milwaukee baseball, that's the name of their mascot.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
And it's an uncanny mascot they have out there. So go check out Bernie Brewer.
Yeah,
and enjoy this origin story. So he's up there since July 6th, baking pies, eating steaks, working on this exercise bike, and throwing paper airplanes. When on Sunday, August 16th, nearly 40 days after Bernie started living in the trailer 80 feet up in the sky, the Brewers held an event of a bat day where they gave out 15,000 free bats to youngsters. And they were convinced this was the day. And of course, they drew 44,000 fans thanks
wow.
to that giveaway. So he can finally come out. So after the game, with the stadium still full, because everyone knows who Bernie Brewer is, he swings down on a rope to the frenzied crowd. 80 feet up, 69 years old, swings down on the rope, gets rope burned, and breaks a few bones.
You're 69. What are you doing? What? He's 69 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Why? You're not Indiana Jones. You live on top of a scoreboard. Mm-hmm.
Maybe what? You're going a little crazy at that point and you want to get down as fast as you possibly can.
I'm going crazy. I feel delirious. What?
Takes the rope 80 feet down.
It's a guy named Milt who goes by Bernie and lives on top of a scoreboard in a trailer. This is the most... What?
it's very Walter Mitty of him. Yes.
What?
So people just grew to absolutely love this figure out there.
Sorry, my brain is so scrambled right now from this story. I don't know what to think. I don't know what to say. I'm speechless. Back to back episodes.
So he was kind of, you know, became the de facto mascot for a little bit. He did pass away a couple years later in 1973. And so that season, the Brewers named a new mascot, Bernie the Brewer, who lives in center field with a slide.
Roll credits. Wow, that is incredible. So
I had no idea.
How did you find this?
So I was just looking up a mascot and I saw Bernie the Brewer. That's weird. And I saw based off somebody real. Nope, this can't be. I need to figure out what's going on here. And then this whole story unfolded about living in the sky in center field. And it was just incredible.
Wow. So I guess we're going to have to do a deep dive on all of these mascots if they've got stories like this. Like, I can't... None of this makes any kind of sense.
Mm-mm.
None of
it's
this.
It's just still 1970-esque.
Like, oh, my gosh. And it's wild, too, because it's kind of like, you know, Batman Begins, right? Like yeah. The film. You know, you see kind of like elements that you know, become what we think of as iconic when you think of Batman, right? You know, like the first time he throws a batarang, right? That's kind of what I'm getting from this, where like he swings down on this rope, you know, to a frenzied crowd.
That becoming
the home run slide.
Yep.
Like this needs to be a movie. I don't know. Like this is what, like, so yeah, sorry. So for those of you, once again, that aren't super familiar with how, you know, the Brewers ballpark is set up. So every time someone hits a home run, they have this big, like, bright yellow twisty slide that you'd see at a mm-hmm. at like a playground, right? Except it's massive. Every time the Brewers hit a home run, they send the mascot, Bernie Brewer, down the slide. It's a whole thing. Everyone loses their minds. Super cool. I didn't know it was built or based on a real story.
Absolutely.
This is so
and
cool.
Bernie the Brewer, again, became the mascot in 73 officially, but then it went away in the 80s. And then he was brought back by popular demand. I think it was in 93.
And he really does look pretty like just like this like the actual mascot, like that the mascot's got a very thick mustache, but that's really the only separator here. Mm-hmm. Like that is so cool,
phenomenal. I love this story.
I gotta be honest, like you tell some really great stories on here, I think I might have a new favorite, because that
I don't blame you, this was fantastic.
Wow, that is incredible. Okay, wow. Bernie Brewer.
Yeah, so you know I love the Fanatic, but Fanatic doesn't have a backstory like this. It's like with a kindergartner drew, and they drew
I feel like the Fanatic could have some terribly dark backstory now. Oh, like he's like, just like a
Joker. Yeah. That's kind of my other question. So besides the Fanatic, okay, and besides, you know, the Brewer here, who is your favorite baseball mascot?
My favorite baseball mascot. See,
you can't say Fanatic because that's cheating.
Well, that's everyone's favorite mascot. Yeah. I'd have to think through. I really don't like Blooper because he's a Fanatic ripoff and he's flesh colored and it's weird and makes me uncomfortable. The running sausages also in Milwaukee.
Oh, Milwaukee,
that's a great one. Or the running presidents when they race around the track in DC's fun.
Yeah, those are fun.
Although I think the slept on mascot here in a very fun promotion is Beat the Freeze in Atlanta, where they have the track star run around the outfield warning track, and they have somebody and they give him like a half half leg start on him, see if they can.
And then they celebrate and fall down before the starting line
every time. Yep. Every time. Who's your favorite mascot?
So I love the story of Dinger in Colorado.
That is a cool story. We should do that.
Yeah. For those of you, I know we talked about this a couple weeks ago, but basically they found some dinosaur bones beneath the stadium at Coors Field. So the mascot is Dinger, little dinosaur. But in practice, it doesn't look great.
How do you feel about Baxter?
So
would you rank him? Like,
so here's the story with Baxter. He's Baxter the Bobcat.
Like I'm covering some trauma.
Yes, Baxter the Bobcat, B O B, named after the original Bob, Bank One Ballpark. And the origin there is that former second baseman Jay Bell's son thought, "Hey, everyone calls the stadium Bob, like a Bobcat. Let's make Baxter the Bobcat."
That's okay.
So that's where Baxter comes from. It's Jay Bell's son. So thanks, Jay Bell's son.
Okay. So another, and now I've got a couple in front of me. Rally Monkeys. That's up there.
Rally Monkeys.
Rally Monkey.
But I lived.
That's hype.
I remember just the phase and the craze of the Rally Monkey. It was fun, but then it just became like a flood of Rally Monkeys and it became too much.
I think you gotta, they haven't, I mean, I feel like they gotta bring it back in full force. I know they still do it. Like, it's not like they've stopped doing it, but the Rally Monkey's cool. I remember watching K-Rod, Francisco Rodriguez, come in with the Rally Monkey on the screen. Mm-hmm. I think my favorite, just a couple quick hits here before we move on. I really don't like Orbit.
Nope,
feel like he's a knockoff and he's lame. Mm-hmm. The Mariner Moose is cool. I like the Moose.
Oh, I do like the Mariner Moose. Yeah.
Big Moose guy.
The opposite of the Mariner Moose, the Padres, the Friar there, he's kind of a unique little character. I like him.
Do they have someone dress up as the Friar, though?
No, just a big mascot, like Bernie the Brewer type thing.
Okay. I think it's unique for sure.
Mr. Red could be cool. Mr. Met, of course. Got to bring him
up.
So
that's what I was going to say. My next thing was, baseball's got this weird thing where they've got three or four mascots that are just people with baseballs on their heads.
Wait, okay. So the Reds, obviously the Mets. Who else has the baseball heads?
Okay, so it seems like I've miscounted. So if you really want to count, there's Mr. and Mrs. Met.
Okay.
But I think my favorite is not Mr. Red, but Mr. Red Legs, which I think came after Mr. Red.
Mr. Red Legs, that's right.
Mr. Red Legs looks like Mr. Met, but with like, if he was like a serial killer with a wonderful handlebar mustache. Like, he looks very unhinged. If you're listening, stop what you're doing right now. Google Mr. Red Legs and tell me that you haven't seen him before in your nightmares, because he's got the most, honestly, just a killer stash, but then his eyes are soulless and scary.
Just because we're here, we got to give a shout out to the most unhinged mascot, the Philadelphia Flyers in the NHL, Gritty.
Gritty.
He will look into your soul, tear the parts, and then proceed to pee on it.
Oh, All right.
And then left.
One last shout out, I guess, is Stomper for the A's.
The elephant.
The elephant logo is so cool.
They have a fun story with that one too. I guess we're doing mascot stories today. But
well, we can also save them too.
This is kind of cool. Okay,
if it's quick, do it now.
So I think it was Connie Mack, the former manager. I'm not sure if he said it or if someone in the press said it, that the collective team of the A's is like a bunch of white elephants, which was a collection of gifts that no one wants. So it's a bunch of misrepresented team or players that nobody wanted. Wow. So they called them the white elephants, and Connie Mack just kind of made that the mascot, the elephants.
That's wild, and nothing's changed in like 100 years. I'm kidding.
Oh, I mean,
people,
you're not wrong.
I'm just joking because the A's had a lot of people that everyone wanted, and now they have they've reset, and now they just don't really keep anyone.
Because I think their highest paid player of all time is still Eric Chavez.
Oh, that's embarrassing.
Like $6 million contract.
If they could quit trading away my girlfriend's favorite players, I would be appreciative. Because like the A's are impacting me personally, and I can't have that.
No.
So yeah, but who knows? I think they've got some. We'll know some more about their next crop of players very soon. Anyway, we'll be back with another installment of the Pickle Jar after a word from our sponsors.
Hey, Alex Fast here, and thanks for listening to this podcast on the Pitcher List Podcast Network. If you're a fan, consider supporting all of us by getting a PL Plus subscription, where you're going to get an ad-free website and get access to our Discord, where you can talk to all of our podcast hosts and staff. Plus, you can hang out with our incredible Pitcher List community. It's basically a baseball sanctuary year-round for as low as $8 a month. You can sign up at pitcherlist.com/plus, and you're going to get your first month free with promo code podcast. Also, don't forget to check out everything else we do as well, from YouTube videos, live streams, newsletters, off-season articles, TikToks, breakdowns, over 15 baseball podcasts on our network. We can't stop talking about baseball, even during the off-season. So sign up for PL Plus today at pitcherlist.com/plus and use promo code podcast to get your first month free. All right, thanks for listening. Let's get back to the show.
And we are back with another installment of the Pickle Jar. Brandon, what's our word for the day?
The phrase is around the horn.
Cool.
So I'm assuming you know what the around the horn is. Is that right?
I do. And I just like to go on record that for whatever reason, Daft Punk's Around the World just started playing in my head.
Yeah. Around the horn.
Yeah. There's a reason we're not musicians and we're podcasters.
Now we can do around the horn as if we're Macho Man singing around the world anyway. So I asked Courtney.
we'll save our listeners' ears.
God. So Courtney said, well, nothing in baseball is horn-shaped.
Then she proceeded
to send me a picture of the baseball field and trying to think it through. And it goes, is it the dirt path?
Yeah, hey.
Okay, that kind of makes sense.
Okay.
I'm on board. So we have two different definitions of around the horn. The first one is after the batter strikes out with the bases empty, the catcher fires the ball to third, throws it to shortstop, throws it to second, and back to third. Around the horn. The other one is a hard grounded third baseman who throws it to second base for the first out and then over the first for the second out. So double play, around the horn.
Cool. All right.
I'm really trying not to do the Macho Man impersonation now because it's just in my head.
Just get it out.
I can't, man. I sound so bad doing it.
How about this? I'll give the audience a warning. If they want to skip forward, they can skip forward.
Right.
All right. You got 3, 2, 1. All right. Go for it.
Around the horn. Around the horn.
Okay.
Never again. Let's put that impersonation away. No,
I like that. I try
to keep a tune to it and see how it
really. Well, you did the first one, and then you realized that didn't really sound like the song too much. And then you kind of fed into it. You put some more melody in it. I liked it. Yeah. I enjoyed it.
I tried to channel my inner 3 minutes playtime. Anyway.
I think it was worth it.
So the origin of Around the Horn, the earliest I could find was 1958. Talking about a double play. But of course, it existed before that. All right. So I don't think we can segue out of this one. So let's go to our final segment for today. Dr. Frankenpitch.
I'm going to put some lightning effects. Crash, crash.
And Noah, I think What's going on, Dr. Frankenpitcher? Because this is your creation.
This is my creation. It is my monstrosity. So I texted Brandon earlier today and I said, hey, we're going to play a game. I'm not going to tell you what it is. And he snidely replied, is it baseball?
Yeah.
So Dr. Frankenpitch, so we've done something similar in the past where along with Nick Pollock, we drafted our favorite pitchers to create an all-time rotation. This time, however, I'm asking you to be Dr. Frankenstein or Frankenstein, if you are a fan of Mel Brooks, and put together nice and put together a pitcher using four famous pitches from throughout MLB history. So you're essentially going to be building a repertoire from all of the pitches in MLB's history.
Okay.
So we'll be doing this as a draft, so we can't both pick the same pitcher's pitch, just for, you know, keep it interesting. And maybe at the end we'll have the community vote on it or something, or
So we're not picking them right now. We're just laying them out there and we'll draft them later. Is that right?
No. We're going to draft right now. Okay. And then we're going to pose it maybe as a poll to the community.
Okay, let's do this.
Yeah. Do you want to,
who gets first pick?
We can flip a coin or you can go first.
Let's flip a coin.
I'll flip a coin in real life, actually.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll get some cool effects. So this is my Jackie Robinson. People at home can't see, but my Jackie Robinson Breaking Barriers memorial coin. We're going to flip it. You can call heads or tails.
Flip it. Oh. I'll call it. 42 side.
Oh, good choice. Sorry. It's Jackie.
Damn it, Jackie. All right. Take your pick.
You can't say damn it, Jackie. That's not
cool. I just did. This is the first time Jackie's ever done me wrong.
Jeez. All right. First overall pick of the draft. You're not going to be surprised. I'm going with Satchel Paige's fastball.
I am a little surprised, actually.
Okay, maybe you are surprised, because I feel like a lot of people don't put the respect on Satchel Paige's fastball that it deserves. Uh-huh. Because not only did he throw gas, where some reports even said, you know, high 90s, maybe even triple digits at times, but he had, from what I've read, the most immaculate control of his fastball in MLB history, where he could tell you, I'm putting that ball through that small hole in the fence, and it's going
there. Candle,
right?
With a fastball, yeah.
Exactly. So Satchel Paige, because he's a dual threat, he gives you the velo, and he gives you the
Pinpoint accuracy.
All right.
I'm surprised you didn't do this one. Necro's knuckleball.
No! You're so mean! You're so mean.
That was your lead off. I thought that was your number one pitch, ready to go.
You're so rude. It's fine. Yeah, that should have been my number one pitch. I just didn't think you would backstab me and betray me like that. All right, Brandon. I thought you were going to go with Randy Johnson, but I guess not. Before you can do this, I'm going to go with the Koufax curveball.
Koufax curveball. Okay, got to get your off-speed pitch there. Might as well be one of the best curveballs of all time.
Yep.
I feel I got to do it just because you already mentioned it. I'm going to go with Mr. Snappy, Randy Johnson's devastating slider.
Did they call his fastball Mr. Snappy?
They did call it Mr. Snappy.
That is a hilarious name for
a Randy Johnson pitch. You don't think of Mr. Snappy. But man, let me tell you, the fastball was one thing, but when that slider was on, it was completely unhittable.
Especially from the left side with his
93 and down the legs, no chance.
That's nasty. Okay, I'll follow you up with a Mr. Snappy of my own.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Clayton Kershaw's slider.
Okay, I feel like we should limit how many Dodgers you can use here.
I was only going to go with two. Those two.
Oh, I want to go with another Diamondback, but I'm not. Instead, I need a fastball. So I am stuck between the Big Train's fastball and Rivera's cutter.
Ooh, you shouldn't have mentioned one of those. I'm just kidding.
I'm going to have to go with Rivera's cutter, though.
Rivera's cutter.
If we're doing best all time here, I got to go.
Yeah, you've got three of the most dominant pitches ever. All right. Fourth and final pitch, unless I figure you and me, sometimes we'll see if we want to go to five.
Yeah, we'll see how we're doing here.
Moe's cutter. You just picked the single most dominant pitch in MLB history. Oh, you're killing me. So I got a fastball. I got Satch's fastball.
Much movement.
I got one.
Who you got?
So I got Satchel Paige's fastball already. I got Koufax's curve, Kershaw's slider. Give me Pedro's changeup.
Ooh, nice. Nice.
That honestly should have been the first overall pick. I think. That or the cutter.
Oof, this is tough. There's so many thoughts. I'm thinking like a Trevor Hoppin circle changeup. Anything from Maddox. I gotta think about this one for a moment.
Yeah, no worries.
Well, you got two Dodgers. I want two Diamondbacks.
Yeah, go for it.
I'm gonna go with Webb Sinker.
Ooh, Brandon Webb. Mm-hmm. Good. I like that.
And he you know, almost beats the consecutive scores streak put together by Drysdale. So leading the way was that sinker, and that was an amazing thing to watch.
All right, I like it. Now we're getting to four. Oh, you know, I kind of have an idea of who I want to go.
I got
with
one. I got one.
Okay, one second. I kind of have an idea of who I want to go with. It's kind of a ripoff of yours though, so I don't of one of yours.
Is it a Greinke's Ephus pitch?
No, but that would be hilarious. That's that what you're drafting? I was thinking
of, yeah.
That's funny. Okay. Oh. I'm not gonna delay this too much longer. I'm between two of them.
I got one more.
Oh, I don't. I'm just giving all sorts of weird ASMR right now. Okay. Give me. I'm sorry.
Do you want me to skip your pick and take it?
No.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Because I could do it right
your
now.
Head off. No, never. Okay. Fine. You know what? You can pick. It's fine.
Bob gets his fastball.
Okay, that's a great pick. You already have a
traditional fastball.
You don't have a traditional fastball. Okay, that's a great pick. So that's your fourth pitch?
Yep.
All right, we're on our fourth pitch. I really want to go with Roy Halladay's cutter, but that's just Mariano Rivera's cutter.
It is, because he taught him the cutter.
So I kind of feel like that's like a ripoff. I don't want to, you know, step on your toes now. Maybe I'll go. Okay. All right. Can I go with a spitball? What are the rules on
legality here? We should have a spitball. Oh, well done.
Spitball. Yeah. Well done. Yeah. I might go with a spitball. Who was the guy who threw? I gotta figure out who the guy was though.
Who was grandfathered into with it and who pitched for 9 years after the fact? I did a story on him a couple weeks ago.
Yes, it's like one of those times where it's in my head.
Because the shame of us not knowing, I have to figure this out.
Burleigh Grimes, right? Is Burleigh Grimes?
He was definitely one of them.
I kind of want to go with Urban Shockers spitball though.
Gaylord Perry
spit. Okay, I'll go with
and Burleigh Grimes. Yeah,
I'll go with Burleigh Grimes because he threw it the longest. That's unfair.
Oh, I can. Oh.
Ha ha!
Spitball. All right.
I'm cheating. All right. So we each have. Oh, do we each have five now?
I have. One, what, I have five, yeah.
What, list yours off again.
So I have Nico's Knuckleball, Mr. Snappy, Moe's Cutter, and then I came down with Bob Gibson's Fastball and Brandon Webb's Sinker.
Okay. Oh, all right. So we have five. I feel like these are some pretty good.
Okay. Now, if you put these into a single pitcher, who has the better season?
I think you do, personally, because I don't think there's any way somebody could be expected to hit not only Bob Gibson's fastball, but Nico's Knuckleball. Oh, and then also I've got Mariano Rivera's cutter, Randy Johnson's slider, two of the
and
most dominant.
Somebody gets on base, throw the sinker in there.
I think the difference here is, I don't know though, I've got some nasty
the change in velocity.
Too. Because it's really, we both have iconic pitches, and that's what it comes down to. So I don't know if it's going to be easy to put one of us over the other, but I think I like your team a lot.
Yeah, for example, if I'm playing the show or something, I always look for pitchers that have the greatest difference in velocity because it always throws batters off.
Right. Although I will say I love Satchel Paige. Satchel Paige throws gas and he does it accurately. Sandy Koufax Koufax. Kershaw's got one of the most dominant sliders in the modern era and all time. And then you got Pedro's changeup is probably the only other pitch on here that's got an argument with Moe's cutter to beat the best pitch of all time. Yeah. And then we've got a spitball. It's fun.
It's fun. Yeah. Which, remember, at this podcast,
amend the rules.
We're not going to help you win fantasy. We're just going to have fun with it.
Exactly. Exactly. Hock a loogie on that ball for what I care. Anyway, that is Dr. Frankenpitch. I'm excited to put this out onto Twitter and get eviscerated by everybody.
Oh, yeah. They're going to be like, you completely miss, you know, Babe Ruth's Young.
I mean, in comparison to you, I feel like they're going to like your pitches a lot more on paper, because I feel like, one, I don't know if everybody knows how dominant Satchel Paige's fastball was. I don't know if everybody knows.
I mean, we talk about Satchel every other episode. So people listen to this should know about Satchel.
You're right. But yeah, so that'll just about wrap things up. That was really fun. I want to do this again in the future, but with different pitches. But anyway, if you liked all that chaos, if you liked what you heard, please follow Short Hops and Tall Tales on Twitter at Short Hops PL. For more Macho Man Randy Savage / Daft Punk impressions, follow Brandon.
I'm so bad at that.
I think it's fine. Do you want me to do one to make you?
No, because then you got to make me feel bad about myself because you do it better.
I don't think I do. But anyway, follow Brandon at BD Riddle and myself at Noah A. Scott 6. Subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen to podcasts. And please tell your friends. Please leave a review. Anything to help us reach new listeners.
Yeah, we want to get 40,000 fans in the game.
If we don't, right, if we don't
come
get
down from a trailer,
40,000 listens, then Brandon has to live in a trailer on top of Chase Field.
Oh, it'll be so hot. I would die. I better have good electric air conditioning.
No, you get nothing. Anyway, for Brandon Riddle, I'm Noah Scott, and this has been the Short Hops and Tall Tales podcast. See you next time.